As oil cartel OPEC meets today, what exactly does it do and why? This is the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. First, though, the daughter of the founder of the Chinese technology giant Huawei faces a bail hearing tomorrow. Meng Wanzhou, the company's chief financial officer, was arrested in Canada on Saturday. She faces extradition to the U.S. on as yet unspecified charges. And while news of her arrest may be new, security concerns about Huawei are not. The BBC's Will Bain has more.
They are an enormous company. Among other things, they're the second largest smartphone maker in the world, but they also have satellites, they make chips. But perhaps most controversially and most linked to this story, they're involved in 5G internet networks around the world, so building those in. And obviously, the more things we want to do online, the faster we want our internet to be. And so countries are looking to build in these big 5G infrastructure networks running what we call the Internet of Things. So that could be smart heating or smart lights in your phone or smart traffic lights in our cities. To explain a bit more about that, here's independent technology analyst Dr. Stephanie Hare.
We know from the Chinese government that they want Chinese companies to share intelligence with the government, and therefore that's a real problem for other countries around the world who do not necessarily want their telecommunications systems being piped straight into Beijing. All data is power. It could be financial. It could be, as your cities go online, do you want somebody to have the capability of shutting down London? It's so difficult to defend against already. When you put that onto 5G, the risks would be sort of exponentially exploded.
Stephanie Hare there. So, Will, is there actually any evidence that Huawei has compromised security in the countries that it operates in?
So none of these countries have pointed to any specific examples, Anu, but the list of people wary of this company is growing. So Australia banned Huawei from being involved in building out their 5G infrastructure network. New Zealand have followed suit. In 2012, the US Congress labelled this company a national security threat. And just this week, we've had the head of MI6, that's the UK's intelligence agency, saying that the UK should be extremely uneasy about having Huawei involved in the 5G network infrastructure here. And just today, the Reuters news agency, Anu, reporting actually that the hack on the Marriott Hotels Group, where some 500 million customers' data was breached, the Chinese government being suggested that they could have well been behind that hack too. So a drumbeat, really, of sort of caution and concern from Western governments towards the Chinese government and Chinese technology firms in particular.
Will Bain, let's do the numbers. Global stocks are falling on fears of more trouble between the U.S. and China after news of that Huawei arrest. Hong Kong's Hang Seng dropped 2.5%, while European benchmarks are all down at least as much. And global crude prices are dropping more than 5% as OPEC members meet about future production levels. 15 oil-producing companies in OPEC and Russia, which isn't part of it, are meeting today in Vienna. They're expected to agree on a production cut, something President Trump has said he's against. Now, we were expecting a decision about an hour ago, but reports suggest members haven't yet been able to agree on action. Now, it's one of those acronyms you've probably been hearing all your life. OPEC was founded in 1960 in Baghdad as a way for new oil nations like Iraq and Venezuela to take more control over their oil revenue away from the big oil companies. So what's behind the way it sets production and price targets now? Will Rind is founder and CEO of Granite Shares, which runs a commodity-focused exchange-traded fund.
You could look at it in terms of a fiscal break-even for each of their domestic budgets. So, for example, Iran needs an oil price of roughly $50 a barrel. A country like Venezuela, for example, would need significantly higher, somewhere north of $200 a barrel to break even. Now, obviously, there are significant domestic issues going on in Venezuela, which makes that an outlier. But the weighted average across the OPEC countries is probably somewhere around $70 a barrel.
But there are some tensions between what different countries want.
Correct. Each budget for each country is obviously different, and social programs they have are different. And therefore, the oil price or the revenues generated from oil are also different in each of these countries. So those are always the factors that weigh on making an ultimate decision.
There is a lesson here, though, with OPEC. Now, with renewable energy coming, isn't that going to diminish OPEC's role in global energy more and more?
Well, I think certainly over the last few years and since the rise of the U.S. shale industry, the dependence on OPEC from a global perspective is less than it used to be. But, you know, at 40% of global oil production, it's pretty significant. as still the de facto leader, Saudi Arabia. When they cut back, especially with a coordination of other members, that almost certainly has an impact on global oil prices. So that's why it's important.
Doesn't the lower OPEC price undercut U.S. oil producers?
At some level, it does. That was exactly the strategy that OPEC employed back in 2014, where they instigated the famous market share war against U.S. shale and drove the price down significantly in order to try and drive U.S. shale producers out of business and increase their market share. Now, that, in hindsight, was not a successful strategy, and therefore they do not want a repeat of that particular performance. Yes, a lower oil price does make it more favorable for lowest cost producers, but it also significantly disrupts their domestic economies, which they don't want to do.
Will Rhine there. Finally, Luxembourg plans to get rid of all public transport fares from 2020 first. How do I get to Luxembourg? I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.